Rampage was the newest video game franchise to hit the silver screen. Is it any good? We're going to talk about that, as well as some recently rehabbed games and if it's worth it to return to them. It's happening right now in inventory full. Don't you go changing.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies.
Hello, everybody out there on the internet. Welcome to twitch.com/inventoryfullpt. Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm the internet's Mark Bidonica, joined as always by Stacey Shuttleworth, Patrick Dees.
What up?
We're the Inventory Full Crew.
Yeah.
Thanks again to the fine folks at Popcorn Talk for hosting this fine fair podcast on their network. But we're here to talk about gamer culture, whether that's games, whether that's movies, whether it's just the sheer nothingness of not having Far Cry 5 and waiting for God of War to come out. We're going to talk about all of that and more. So to get started, man, did I watch Rampage.
Did you?
Now, folks are calling it the, just because it's the highest rated video game movie of all time, it's not as crazy as I thought it was going to be.
Meaning, go on.
It could have gotten crazier.
Okay.
It's very much schlocky action movie. If this was made in the 80s, it would be great. But it's this
Carl Weathers
dumb. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
It's this dumb self awareness that they have. They've got like every action movie needs like a shit weasel.
Yeah.
The second in command to the big bad.
Of course.
Who's just, I mean, the best way to steal a phrase from Action Movie Anatomy, just a shit weasel.
Sure.
And really solid shit weasel in this movie.
Great.
But so all of these the animal mutations are as a result of something called Project Rampage.
Nice.
No.
Was that an acronym?
No. They just it was
get into that hat mark, we're listening.
Go on.
Without getting too far into it, there was this gene enhancing project that was taking like the strength of this, the speed of this, and putting it all into one thing, and then the tests were inconclusive. There were tests being done in space.
Okay.
A rat started rampaging a space station, and that's what led all of the leftover canisters to hit all of the animals, or the three animals that led in the movie. But they tried to go like the bioweapony stuff, but ultimately the characters are affable. The relationship between George the Ape and the Rock is really a legitimate. I guess the best way to put it is page turner. Like it's
okay.
It's a very good, solid friendship sort of relationship. You find out that how Rock found him as a child trying to be taken by poachers and being a rare albino gorilla.
Sure.
Would have been killed and sold like that. So it's started very young, and they have a very playful because they can sign back and forth and talk. It's very entertaining, and I can't tell you how many times I heard the Rock yell George in the movies, because it was pretty frequent. But the action was fun. The acting was as passable as you can get for a movie like this.
I'll take it.
But the city destruction, they dotted all of the I's. I like The Rock's character because he wasn't about just straight up killing fools or killing anybody. He would just like subdue them or knock them out or whatever. So I was like, cool, it's an action hero that has some sort of a moral. He's more about the preservation of life than the destruction of it. Cool, great. But the design on all of the Rampage animals, and looking through all of the promotion of this, Lizzie, the in the game, is just sort of like a reptilian monster.
Uh-huh.
Lizzie in this is a mutated crocodile from the bayou.
Mm-hmm.
And when Lizzie is the coolest reveal and is has some of the coolest mutations and has some of the coolest action in the entire movie.
Cool.
Ralph the Wolf has a scene dedicated just to it being a badass. There's a lot of stuff in between that makes you go, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
But ultimately, there is some great action and some really cool moments between Rock and a giant CGI gorilla. Would I recommend? Is this the best video game movie of all time? No. God, no. And we've seen a lot of
them. Oh, yes, we have. I feel like we're not experts on much that topic. Yeah, we got handled 100%. Okay.
But is this something to see in theaters? No. Is this something to watch Sunday morning on TNT? Yeah.
Okay.
If you have a spare weekend, you've got nothing to do, because this, especially with the first weekend that it beat out A Quiet Place, which not a lot of people thought that it would do. But if you have a free afternoon, you're like, well, I have absolutely nothing else to do.
Never gonna happen.
Go see Rampage.
Get that movie pass out.
Yeah, get that movie. That's what exactly yes, what this
okay,
was.
Okay,
this is a movie pass. This is a movie that Movie Pass was designed for.
Perfect. Yeah. So, like, how many nods to the actual game are there?
So here's the problem.
That's what I'm getting at.
There was in the Big Bad's office. They had both versions of Rampage as arcade cabinets in the background.
Great.
Never mentioned.
Nope.
Never like, man, they? when I was a kid, or like the fact that it hit a wolf, a lizard-esque, like something like that, and an ape. No, like, this is just like it happened in the game. Like, none of that, like, no even sort of a nod.
Right, right. And
make it corny.
Exactly. Like, that's the thing, is if you're going to, if you're going to put the arcade machines in the background, make references
call
to the
out.
Flipping. Exactly.
Totally.
Call it out.
Make fun of yourself on that point.
Look straight into the camera. Look straight into the camera.
And be like, I know exactly what to do. I've been training for this my whole life.
But so there's a lot of stuff. It's like, oh, cool, this is kind of a thing from the game. But there's a couple of things that didn't happen that I was hoping to. Hoping that one of them would like hit an electrical sign on the side of a building and shock and then fall down to the
ground. Yeah, I would have bet $1,000 that would have been in the film.
Or like grab, what was it? Just grab something that gives them like the fire breath.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Something, but like no.
Like a gas canister.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yes.
Yeah. But there wasn't any of that.
Oh, okay.
But like in terms of like a Pacific Rim or a Godzilla or just big monster fights, there's some pretty cool stuff
great.
In here. All really
right.
cool stuff in here. So it earns all of its scores. But I wouldn't say that this is the best video game movie ever made. That honor to me still goes to the original Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Still a magical movie.
Undisputed.
But aside from that, I didn't play too much this weekend. I did stream WWE 2K18. Thank you for everybody for joining us there. We did get a new follower out of that. Did play some Minecraft, and I finally played the new Overwatch event. Is anybody else play the new Overwatch event?
Yeah, I played a couple rounds of that.
Yeah, me too.
Patrick!
I did, I know.
Right? You don't play Overwatch. You play
Overwatch. I was actually really excited. It gave me an excuse to play McCree, which I loved. Love me some McCree. That game's fun, right? Like, I've been wanting... And it's interesting because, like, again, a lot of the devs on that were talking a little bit about player behavior and watching heat maps. And really, I think this is, like, one of those incremental steps to, like, an actual full-blooded campaign to the game, which I was interested to see the evolution of that. It was great. I genuinely enjoyed it. So I don't know. I didn't play the last one. So, like, again, was kind of new to this. But I had a really great time with this.
You still can play the last one.
Yeah,
the last one is available to play in the arcade.
Great. There okay. Go. I'll go back and...
We're taking a spin with it.
Is it? Okay. How does this differ from that? And like, what were your impressions, Stacey, as a veteran?
This is a lot more. This seemed a lot more story centric.
Okay.
I think, or not story centric, but very driven.
Yep.
Yeah, and like you say, this is on the way to a story mode. This had cutscene.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
Usually they have some version of like a motion comic. To sort of tell the story before and after. But this, the first scene was all done in cinematic.
It was great.
Which was all done in engine cinematic, but it was a good indicator. It's a little hard, but in a good way.
Yeah.
I liked how, I mean, the regular mode is always almost not enough of a challenge, especially if you're playing with four people.
Yep.
If you're playing with a bunch of random people, then it can be enough on its own.
Yeah. yes.
When you've got four people coordinating and going through it, we managed to get through hard. Got our asses handed to us on Legendary.
Yeah, as
heroes,
did we. So
but,
we ghosted normal, like no problem, a couple times through. I went through on hard. It was a challenge, but got through it. But yeah, Legendary was not happening.
Yeah.
Those are for people who are much better at that game than me. Not my fifth time playing McCree is the point.
Right. Yeah, no, Moira's my girl. So
okay, cool.
That was a good time.
Yeah, nobody was fighting over Moira. Like it has a lot of people where the three attack mains are... Yeah, pretty reasonable when it comes to like popular character choices. So people rarely pick the healer.
Not my sister-in-law's a mean Moira. Though.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it was dope.
Oh yeah, it was fun to sort of cut loose on Moira. Genji just didn't stay close to me, and he died a lot. That's his fault.
Always with Genji.
So speaking of Genji, the first time we played this mode on hard, You know how you go through the game and then you have to get on the dropship at the end?
Yeah.
Well, you can choose not to get on the dropship.
Oh, I know. My Genji did the same thing, Rich.
Robbie?
Yeah. Oh, no. Robbie?
So we finally get to the end on hard. Okay. Our first time through hard. And we're like, all right, we got this. We're great. You know, it's almost time for bed. Like, it's late at night. It's time to go to bed. And he goes, wait, I have my ult. I need to use it before we get on the ship. So he dashes out back into the crowd.
Oh, he got on the ship and then back off?
Oh, okay. He was almost on the ship and turns around. And it's so...
amazing.
So he jumps out, immediately dies. So we're like, crap, now we jump out to try to res him. I immediately go down. And then the other two players in our group like come out one by one to try and res us. And we just all go down.
Oh, no.
We all...
And that was the last round that night?
And that was it.
You're like...
No, we had to play it again, obviously.
You have to. I agree. You can't go out like that.
Like, we had to finish hard mode that way. But it was just the worst way to like...
Man, it is that. Yeah, it is very like Gears of War's Ian like that. Like one person goes down, and it's like, well, this is going to be a chain reaction of ugly. Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I 100%. Mean, all of their modes so far have been like that. Once one person goes down, like if you can't coordinate to get them back up quick, that is the beginning of the end.
Especially in front of the heavy, I had McCree and Reyes go down, and I was just like,
Right at the end, right where you're waiting, at the heavies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Or no, when the heavies first show up.
Okay.
But it was still just like,
I know exactly.
I've got a Moira and a Genji. We're two bullet sponges that won't last very long. Might as well just quit.
we're just done. Well, so like, talk to me about the other event. Like, have they all been about as comparable in length? Because this was a lot shorter than I anticipated. There was a lot of like build up to this, and I was like, all right, like we're playing a little mini campaign.
Well, it's
and
also
like,
supposed to be palatable and replayed.
Sure, I get it.
The last year's mode is a little bit longer because you have to fight your way through three different capture points and then get on the payload and go back and fight through a really a hard mode of a couple of primo characters.
This just sounds like a match though. Almost. This feels like a level. This is PvE. It's,
yeah, this on top of the last year's mode did have new enemies that aren't comparable to any sort of any sort of a player character.
Great.
Right.
But no specialized class. I felt like this had a little bit more where with the heavy you go, all right, that's Bastion's gun on Reinhardt.
Sure.
He's got the charge and the sniper seemed like just a reskinned Widowmaker. Whereas in the other ones it's In world, they're models of the robots that get reskinned as heroes.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's the original model of Bastion's.
Got it.
And the original model of Orisa's.
Okay.
Just a lot of them instead of just the one. So, yeah, I would recommend going back and playing last year's mode, too.
I think I'll jump in.
That one is Torbjorn, Tracer, Reinhardt, and Mercy.
Great.
So good luck.
Okay.
In the story of that one is it's Tracer's first mission.
Oh, cool. All right. Yeah. I just like it represents me to how well designed that game was, right? Mm-hmm. Like I kind of went in a little bit like, you know, to support my brother and sister-in-law. They're like really amped on it. And I want to talk about it on the show. And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll go around. And like, I was like, oh, this is fun. This is really, it's so good. The game is so well designed. It deserves every bit of success it has.
Does anybody else want to talk about anything else that was played before we move on to some of our stories?
I can quickly talk about, I just want to say shout out to the end of Far Cry. If you're at home and playing Far Cry 5, do yourself the favor of finishing this game because it is unlike any ending I have ever seen in video games. Hard stop. And some of my friends have like played a good amount of it and fallen off. And I'm just encouraging you, if you've 10, 15, 20 hours in the game, do yourself a favor. Don't listen to spoilers. Finish it. Because like it or hate it or love it or despise it, it's going to be divisive. And we're going to be talking about it for like a long time. It is truly nihilistic and weird and awesome. And props to Ubi for going this direction. Because like, holy sweet Jesus, that's an ending of a game.
You made me want to like rush through to the ending.
It's
when
crazy.
You started like texting us about it, and I'm like, oh god, I gotta go, I got distracted, but
we were talking off mic, but like my experience was this. So like I was nearing kind of the third area. I had just started that, and my cousin was like, yo, where are you? Because I finished the game, and I like really want to be there with you live when you see the end of this. And so I was like, all right, so it's good. And he's like, I didn't say it was good. I was like, so it's terrible. He's like, didn't say that either. I just want to hear your reaction in real time. And I'm like, all right. So he actually jumped in my game, and then we cruise through that last bit. We took down Jacob's Seed, and then you go see the father. And he just wanted to hear my reaction live. And there is one choice at the end. We made the choice, and then there's some stuff happening. It's just, it's... I can't, like, do you know what I mean? Like, because we've all played a lot and finished a lot of games. And, like, there are certain beats that video game endings go through, and they wrap up certain things, and this is just like, I said this earlier off mic, but there's just no way you see this coming, and I am underselling this ending, if anything, right
how
now.
How would you rank this one of the more commonly referred to video game endings in recent memory would be the original BioShock. How would you rate that to a would you kindly?
On the level, so
in terms of, like, you know, you go, it's something that you don't get until, and this is from speaking from somebody who hasn't played Far Cry 5, but going through the game and if you know, it's one of those things where if you know what you're looking for, you'll find it instantly. But with Far Cry 5, how expected on that level?
So, and I'll just say this, like, one of the things that I had to go back and find out afterward was a lot of the build up to this ending was actually kind of obfuscated behind radio broadcasts, which, so I didn't see some of that coming, but there are some definite, like, nods to where this goes. But it's funny that you mentioned BioShock, because this is also a treatise on video game habits in the same way that BioShock is in the Would You Kindly moment, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why that illusion of agency that you have, and it's a little darker, a little bit more nihilistic, but I think it's very much a, it's almost a fuck you for having fun with our game kind of ending.
Boy.
It's weird and awesome, and like, but very much a commentary on player behavior and player action. And, you know, again, I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give it away, but I take that, like, for grain of salt. And we're actually planning a spoiler conversation around this, so we'll make sure that
there's enough time for people to come in and get in on the conversation. But it's gonna, as of right now, it looks like it's gonna be y'all two,
yep,
Nate and Engineer Steve, who has also beaten the game. But hey, seeing as I'm building up for God of War,
yeah,
and I still haven't put up as much time that I want to into Sea of Thieves, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Far Cry 5 might be a break time game for me. So I feel like this needs to happen, because there's a lot of themes that want to occur, and I look forward to going back and listening to it.
Cool.
But when we get there, we'll make sure you know. It probably won't be in place of a regular show, or it might. Who knows? Until then, stay tuned. Stacey, is there anything else that you want to talk about that you played?
I mean, briefly, I've still been playing a lot of Fortnite,
mm-hmm,
actually.
Have you?
I have, and this game, so first-person shooters, shooters of any kind, have been historically very difficult for me.
Okay.
Far Cry has been a challenge,
sure.
And which is why I use the rocket launcher whenever I can.
Instant solver.
But Fortnite, we've gotten to the point where it's finally starting to click for me, so Fortnite has become actually exciting to play.
Oh, nice.
So I'm learning to shoot things, guys.
Are you? How are you in building?
I am getting better at that too.
Cool.
I can fall down a mountain and build my way down the mountain without dying, so I consider that a success.
I would agree.
You know,
fair
I'll
enough.
Take it. That's about where I am.
Huh. Well, all right. I want to play more Fortnite. There's so many things that you want to play more of, you never get the chance to. Welcome to adulthood. Speaking of welcome to adulthood, let's talk about becoming a superhero in the real world. There's a game that's coming out that
as adults do.
Right.
There's a game coming out that I know Stacey and I are hyped for,
yes,
and I think Nate would be too. We have a trailer for it that we can run. This is My Hero One's Justice, which is going to be coming out later in 2018. It is a seemingly an arena 3D fighting game coming out based on the My Hero Academia franchise. Now, Patrick, I know you're not an anime man.
I'm the biggest anime man.
Well,
he knows all of these characters really well.
All of them. And it's a Bandai Namco joint, so I am super on board.
And Bandai Namco has been kind of on fire lately.
Yeah.
And seeing how well they do with the Dragon Ball fighting games, as well as Smash Brothers, getting a chance to work with a franchise as on fire, no pun intended, for the hero that just came on stage,
sure,
on screen. This looks like it's gonna be fun. I really hope that it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick, as somebody who isn't as familiar with anime, I would recommend My Hero Academia, because it is one of the most Western anime that you could watch.
Accessible and all that.
Accessible because it's essentially the Avengers in school.
Great.
And
it's sold. That's a great like way to sum it up.
Mm-hmm.
It also has an excellent dub.
Yes.
So
the English voice cast is very
cool.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very good.
Dude, I think how cool is it just watching this trailer, like, that we are at a point where games look like an actual anime, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
before, you'd never be able to pull this level of spectacle off, right? On a
fighting game. This is cool.
Yeah. There's going to be some stage destruction. They have a sidekick system, which will allow you to call in up to two additional heroes to assist you in battle. But the list of fighters so far, pretty fun. Pretty best girl.
I had to break for that.
No. So for people who are fans, let me read through some of the characters here. We have Hero Killer Stain, Aizawa All Might, Izuku Midoriya, Katsuki Bakugo, Ochako Urataka, Shoto Todoroki, Tenya Iida, Tsuyu Asui, Denki Kaminari, and Momo Yayozuru. I'm really looking. What?
Your pronunciation's on point, man. Well, I'm just so impressed. I just was like, wow, Red, he crushed it.
I struggle with those. On
that's
the
harder
daily,
than most of the combos in this game.
It's just Japanese. But some of the coolest characters in modern anime being able to get behind the driver's seat, like right now, watching All Might go flipping crazy is getting me super hyped. But this is coming out Steam, Xbox One, PS4, Switch, US. Europe, or I'd say the Americas, Europe, and Japan, it's all coming out this year, and to take advantage of one of the strongest anime properties in a long time.
Oh, cool. This year, they didn't give a date.
No, they just said 2018. Cool. It could be December 31st.
Yeah, cool.
But okay. Hopefully around E3 time, maybe we'll get a date. Maybe.
I would hope so.
I would hope so, too. Yeah. So I'm going to lump these next couple of stories together because I don't know if this phrase exists, but I kind of came up with it. Rehabbed games that launch with a little bit of got a little bit of a crutch. They're not the strongest. They need a little bit of work on them. A couple of games, most notably Destiny 2,
yep.
Sea of Thieves, and Star Wars Battlefront are coming out with new ways to get people back into the game now. Destiny 2, of course, came out last fall. Battlefront 2 came out last winter. Sea of Thieves came out a month ago.
Yep.
And yet they're all sort of in the same realm of, man, we need to get people playing this game again.
Games as a service.
Exactly.
And to your point, that where they've fallen off a little bit from like where I think they'd intended to be.
I would say totally. Especially for Destiny 2 and Battlefront, I don't think Sea of Thieves is old enough to have experienced as much of a fall off or a negative backlash. It still has, but definitely not as much as Destiny 2 and Battlefront. So let's start with the furthest back, and Patrick, you can help me commenting on these.
Sure.
Destiny 2 announced the Warmind expansion is going to be coming out May 8th. Unlucky for them, Black Panther also coming out on May 8th, so I wonder what people would rather do instead. But it's going to be more story stuff. It will send you to new places to meet new heroes and battle new enemies. You will earn new loot and master new activities.
Could you give me new details? Because that's really vague. And I know they've got like this is an announcement about an announcement, right? Like
yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, but just like this, all of this. Hey, it's new. Like was just like okay. Like I hated this announcement. I'm excited about when they actually show more. And like honestly, if it's of any substance, I'm going to jump back in. I still love the way Destiny feels, but like I never expected Destiny to be the only game that I ever played. Like I think it's healthy relationship to be able to put it down, play other shit, and then pick it back up. And this is the cadence of content that I like with Destiny. I know I'm not in the majority here, but I don't know. You going to pick it up?
I still haven't finished the Trials of Osiris or whatever the first expansion was. I still have not finished the story because it was like, I'm going in the same places and doing the same stuff, and the weapons aren't new enough to warrant me to stay here. And I think that also came out around a time where I was really trying to play a lot of stuff. So it was like, so maybe.
Yep.
But I mean, ultimately, it's not near the top of my list, especially with single player experiences like Far Cry 5, like God of War. I still haven't finished Wolfenstein 2, for God's sake.
Oh,
you need to get on that.
Yeah, sure.
You do. Speaking of spoiler
guys. So Star Wars Battlefront 2 has announced that they're going to have a new mode called Ewok Hunt that will allow you to play either as the Empire or you do that, but I'm super stoked. You can either play as the Ewoks defending their village or as a member of the Empire trying to survive, this is Polygon's quote, not mine, an adorable ambush.
All right, props to Polygon. That's pretty great. Pretty great.
So the Ewok's going to have like really ridiculous trap setups and like stuff like
Great.
So here's I Here's
how you make this successful.
This
right?
is how EA describes it. The ambush begins as Ewoks attack unsuspecting stormtroopers using spears, wisties, we'll get to that, and other skills to take down their opponents. Each stormtrooper defeated spawns as another Ewok, multiplying until the Empire forces have been completely eliminated.
Phenomenal.
And the Ewok celebration can begin. Yub nub. However, the stormtroopers' superior training and firepower are more than a match for the Ewoks. Armed with a cadre of weapons as well as flashlights to pierce the darkness, players must hold back the Ewok ambush if they have a hope of surviving until an extraction team can arrive. Now, Wisties, for those of you who aren't familiar with the made-for-TV movie Caravan of Courage, an Ewok adventure, wouldn't be familiar with the sentient fairy-like creatures known as Wisties.
No.
It doesn't say what their abilities are, great. But the fact that they're appearing in this game means that they are canon. But aside from this is also going to reintroduce currency. It was just for appearances, but with this update will come the ability to pay for crystals, which will allow you to pay for costumes.
Yep.
Now, for me, a Star Wars fan who has fallen hard off of Battlefront 2...
Yep.
Being able to play as an Ewok?
Kind of cool.
I'm about it.
Yeah.
Wait, are they announcing an Ewok hero?
Right.
Like, that would be great. I'd be all... Are we get Wicket? To play as Paplu?
Yeah, okay.
Or Wicket?
Yep.
Or... No, I'm not going to keep listing them. But, but
you could, and that's impressive. Yeah, I know. Same page.
Go ahead, Patrick.
No, just I think this is cool. Like, I'm glad to see... And hopefully this actually gets players back. I don't know if you guys saw the press conference today. EA had some corporate messaging. Patrick Soderlund was just promoted to, like, chief of studios at EA. And he was talking specifically about how this debacle specifically impacted them across all of their studios. And he was very forthcoming and all these lessons learned, and it's changing their ethos and their approach to development going forward. And he said a lot of like really great things, sounded very sincere, but like very just like owned it. It was like, we made some mistakes.
Yeah.
So I know I'm still rooting for this game to be successful. I still want there to be another one. So,
And I think that we'll be into year two of content for Battlefront 2 before we even get an announcement for Battlefront 3.
We're going to get some solo content?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Great.
And then...
Play with Young Lando?
I would assume something in the summer and then something in the fall. And then spring, they'll start the rumor mill and we'll get an announcement at EA Play 2019.
Sounds about right.
New
Battlefield this year, yeah?
Oh, which could coincide... There should be.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there should be. And then Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is going to be getting new content starting in May, and it's going to be sort of stretched out. Rolled out across the summer. There's going to be new weekly events, which feature new rewards, new mechanics, including... go ahead.
I just love that phrase, specifically, new mechanics.
Yeah.
Was key to this whole announcement for me.
What else is there going to be?
I mean, great. Like, so there's some more people environment, and like, okay, whatever. But like... allowing you to physically add more verbs to this game is sorely needed. And so, like, again, I want this game to be successful. I think it's rad. I just was not my cup of tea. But with new mechanics, then, like, that's the thing that actually really turns me on. If they just said, like, we have, like, 10 new ships and 4 new hats, then I would have been like,
we'll check it out. May is going to start with the release of something called The Hungering Deep, which introduces a new AI threat.
Yeah.
As well as new mechanics to assist players in adding new unique rewards to earn. But during the summer, there's going to be a cursed sales event, which will debut, bringing with it a new ship type. Cool. So maybe you can get a cursed ship with like tattered sails and all that stuff. As well as an area known as the Forsaken Shores, which will introduce a new world for players to explore. Now, whether that means you sail off of the edge in a very specific place, follow your compass to this most eastern way, we don't know. But, so on top of all of this, Rare announced that their previously announced pet and ship captaincy are being put on the back burner. So that more stuff like these content updates can be put in the forefront.
Sounds needed.
Yeah. Sounds very smart. Needed. Mm-hmm. So now we're across 6-7 months of games that have been out. How well do updates like this... especially with the speed with which they are received. Because with Battlefront 2, it took maybe about a month or two. Destiny 2, it took about a month or two. And Sea of Thieves, it took about a month. Mm-hmm. Does does these sort of rehabs make you want to get back into it, or does it really depend on the type of game?
I think it does depend on the type of game. I like having kind of new stuff added regularly, you know, even if we have a game that is lacking on release, mm-hmm. Especially the way I game, you know, I obsessively play something until I am done with it.
Yep.
And so having them introduce something new a couple months later and be like, oh, I can go back to that world.
Yeah.
Is really nice. So this, I mean, yeah, I go for these content updates, mm-hmm. you know, pretty easily.
Do you go in, finish it up, leave? Or stick around a little bit later?
It really depends on how much I can stretch out of it. I mean, I will stretch out as much time. If it is a world I like being in, I will go and do repetitive things over and over and over again just to run around this world and just to be part of it and to interact with the little things. Like, so if there's enough to really add a new depth to it, absolutely. Mm. It would keep me back in for a lot longer than just, you know, campaign done.
Borf. What of these three games, Patrick, would you go back to first?
Can I say none of them?
Really? No,
Destiny. Like, yeah. Like I said, I love the way that game feels, and I think that's a healthy relationship with that game's a service. But it's just, I don't know, like, you know, you asked, like, are these going to work, and do they bring you back in? Like, I think we should just buckle up, because this is going to be games as our future. Right? Yeah. And I think, like, you know, the gold standard right now is Ubi, right? Like, they've turned every one of their games into this. Like, we just got season 2 of Ghost Recon, which is incredible. Yeah. Sam Fisher tie-in, they had Michael Ironside playing Sam Fisher again.
Wow.
Pretty great. So, I don't know, like, it'll be interesting, but I think this is here to stay, like, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm. So. I hope the next step will be getting the launch right.
Yes.
And then just keeping that goodwill going until the first update and the next update and season 2 and season 3.
And some of that's going to be – it'll be interesting to see, like, this – games like – what was the Cliffy B's Bosky multiplayer shooter? The new one. Highest Heights. Radical Heights.
Radical Heights.
Okay. So, like, that is a really interesting game to me because, like – they're calling that extreme early access, right? Like, so, like, I think it'd be interesting, you know, over the next couple of years, that window and, like, when you say something's polished enough to get out with a clear messaging that it's still early access, that's going to be – because, like, at what point do you release a title that's, like – this is clearly still, like, gray box shit. Like, I haven't played it yet, but I've seen plenty of people who have, and, like – they're just, like, untextured, like, geometry in that world. And so, like...
I've never heard it put that way. Gray box shit.
That's...
But I totally understand
what you're saying. That's why they used to be gray box a level. And, like, I think it's going to be so interesting to see, like, how... Because at what point do you say, look, that makes a bad first impression mm-hmm. versus, like, what's the Crysis Studios new game, The Hunt, right? Which is their take on 2v2v2v2, battle royale-ish type concept. It's a... early access game. Anyway, so, but theirs is incredibly polished. Like, it's stunning. They say, like, it'll bring your PC to your knees. I'm really interested to see, like, how, like, where the dust settles and what are best practices, like, when you release that and how you communicate that. And because I genuinely think if you'd have said Sea of Thieves, if you'd called it early access and said, hey, look, we're putting this out there. And, like, you as a community, like, give us feedback, would have been different than if they charged – than, like, they did. They charged okay. $60 mm-hmm. for it. And mm-hmm. I – not wanting to get upset about it, but, like, I said it wasn't for me, but a lot of people were upset about that $60. And the same thing with, like, No Man's Sky, right? That's another one of those things that could have benefited from games as a service because they continued to release updates on it. But – let's get the communication down. So I think this space is just going to be really fun to watch over the next, you know, 2 years.
Side note, Steve in the booth, guys.
Hey, Steve.
I don't know if you guys recently heard, but No Man's Sky was actually going to Xbox.
I did.
Yeah, we talked about it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. You were here, dear.
Hey.
Hey. Sure.
Carry on.
Are you excited about that? Is that why you brought it up?
I'm actually excited about Division 2.
Mm. you and me both,
and,
sir.
As far as a game that's had been nursed back to life over its initial disastrous release, I can't think of another game outside of Destiny 2 than the Division.
I can't call that I totally disagree with that disaster. Well, I agree. They had some serious, like, launch day problems, but it is it is Ubi's all-time best-selling IP day one. Like, it is, like, without question, from a stockholder perspective, their most successful title in the first quarter that it was on the market. Like, so Far Cry 5 was number 2, right behind that, which is crazy. So I'm with you. There was a weird public perception, and I think people fell off immediately. The end game had major problems, Steve, but, like, I don't know. Yeah, I am with you in the sense that – but they've continued. To your point, like, there was a – the crowd turned on the division at some point, like not that first quarter, but like 4 or 5 months in, there's like nothing to do. The end game sucks. And they lost everybody. But you're like, again, Ubi keeps rehabbing or whatever you want to call it. Like, again, they stick with a game where historically studios would just give up on the shit and release another title.
Yeah.
They said, look, we're going to fight for that player base. And they have. And they, to your point, Steve, they've done a really successful job with it.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Something we I wanted to talk about really quick, just because, God, do I want it to happen? Jeff Kaplan of Blizzard team and Overwatch team mentioned that they're having ongoing and frequent discussions about cross-platform progression within their ecosystem. Quote, it's something we would very like to explore. I can't, what? It's very challenging for many reasons, and I won't get into all the details as to why, but I think it's a very valid desire that our players have, and it's something that the Overwatch team will love to figure out. There's no given timeline for that, of course, but there, anytime they choose to come out to the public and say, hey, we want to work on this, it's been maybe 6 to 8 months before they get it going. And as somebody who spent a lot of money on the Xbox platform of Overwatch and has since moved over to PC,
I would
really like for this to happen.
I don't think it's that as like, again, that's the platform holder's like issue, right? That's got to be first party stuff. Like, that is super easy from a technological perspective to solve, right? Like, that is just your battle.net login.
Yeah.
And that's all most of the
cloud
stuff.
But you do anyway, because you do log into your battle.net login.
My point
on console,
they have that literally. So like, what he's saying is that those challenges are all platform issues, not like from a technology perspective. Mm-hmm. You flip a switch, they could do this tomorrow. Like, what was the Diablo 3, right? It was cross-platform progress because nobody cared. It wasn't a multiplayer game, so none of the platform holders had an issue with your like single-player progress carrying across platforms. Nobody cared. So like, they built this. It's here.
And I'll just never forget the first Heroes of the Storm event where you unlocked a special Genji skin. It showed up on my Xbox before it showed up on my PC.
Oh, cool.
No. I wasn't very happy about that. It's like, wait a minute. So if this could show up on Xbox, why the hell isn't it showing all of this other stuff showing up on my PC?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm really excited for that to show up. I'm going to skip this Sega stuff. Let's talk about the BAFTA Game Awards.
All right.
These were held over the weekend, and boy, did Hellblade clean up.
Yeah, they did. I tweeted out last night. I was so excited to see this. I was
Hellblade
so excited.
Won 5 awards.
Fucking cleaned up.
Including Game Beyond Entertainment, Artistic Achievement, Audio Achievement, British Game.
It's the most British game.
The best British, most British game.
British.
Yep. And Melina Jurgens also won as performer in this
surprising
as well.
Surprising no one.
Surprising nobody.
She's destroyed.
Absolutely deserves it.
That is so cool.
A constant reminder that if you haven't played this game, especially now that it's coming to Xbox, play this game.
Yeah. And they just released some shots of it, the Xbox One X enhanced version of it.
Oh boy.
And it's stunning. Like on a PlayStation, they didn't even have the Pro patch when I played it, and it was, the game's amazing. So you have a lot to look forward to.
Beautiful looking game.
Yeah.
Some of the other winners here: best mobile game, Golf Clash. As we all know.
Sure.
Family game, Super Mario Odyssey. Odyssey also winning game design, which I can agree. I can agree with that. It's fun. It's good. Multiplayer, Divinity Original Sin 2. Man, do I want to play me some of that.
Yeah, and that's also announced for later this summer on the consoles.
Consoles? Ooh, yep. If only it could be cross-platform. That would be great. Or at least PC, PS4, PC, Xbox.
Right.
At the very least. Game Innovation, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. I can 100% agree with that. Best Evolving Game, Overwatch.
Not a surprise either.
Not a surprise either.
Well deserved.
Debut game, Gorogoa.
Yep.
Not familiar.
No. It's an Annapurna game. It's a mobile. It's short. So, they make some great stuff.
Best music, Cuphead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Best narrative. Now, no offense, but I was really surprised to find out that Night in the Woods won best narrative. Now, this is also coming from somebody who hasn't played it, but compared to some of the other stuff that are just these winners here, that's huge.
It is, and that was really exciting to see for me personally. But, I think that the narrative that Night in the Woods presents is absolutely one of the best I've played.
I need to play it. That's on my shame list. It's like so my jam. I played Oxenfree. I love those games. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think the narrative branches are absolutely beautiful and relatable and just bring so much emotion to them. So
cool. Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a completionist, but how long did it take you to beat Night in the Woods?
God, it's like 7 hours.
Okay.
And
that's some long end.
That's a Saturday.
That's, right? I think 7 hours to complete it if you're not me. I think I took a little longer because every day I run through and made sure I talked to everybody every time.
Yeah. Did you read the books?
If there were books,
there's books.
If there were books.
She's I'd like, there were them. Books.
There's poetry.
No, oh, yeah, I believe that.
Did all the poetry.
Oh, okay.
That's beautiful. And winner of Best Game, What Remains of Edith Finch.
My boys.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Man, what a tough game.
Yep. Super, they were very excited.
What a necessary game.
Yep.
If that's another one, if you haven't played What Remains of Edith Finch, you can almost wait for sale. You can wait for a Steam sale or whatever platform you're on if you don't feel like, it's just a couple of hours, but it's worth it.
I was really surprised. Again, I just like even I thought the game was magic, but I thought it was like one of those cult classics when I played it that I would be continually raving about it, but it would never see like mass adoption. But like how cool is it to see these things get props
BAFTA.
Like that? I know.
Amazing.
So good.
The BAFTA award winning game.
They won at GDC as well. Which did they? They were very I was there when they won. They were very excited about it.
Yeah, they were. It was amazing to see them win at the VGAs as well.
Yeah,
it was very, very emotional. Standing
best
ovation
right?
from the crowd. Yeah. It was good for them. And again, all of these games, especially Golf Clash, very worth your time.
Yeah.
So make sure to pick them up. I mean, if you don't have a Switch for Legend of Zelda or Super Mario Odyssey, those are games to buy Switches for. And man, if it turned my icy cold heart warm. The Legend of Zelda can do that to you too. I don't know where that came from. So kind of some alarming, surprising news to come out that apparently a new BioShock is early in development, and we don't even know what studio it's being worked on by.
Secret studio. I like, dude. Did you read this article?
I did. Yeah. The TechRadar one.
Okay. Yeah. So great article. Jason Schreier on Kotaku is like arguably the best like investigative reporter, the only one really left in the space, broke the story on Hangar 13, and he buries this news in that article, which would have been the headline on any other like a site anywhere. He's like, oh yeah, by the way, they're making this BioShock game.
They're working on a new BioShock game, I guess.
Which is not a surprise to anybody, but like Take-Two on their quarterly earnings call last quarter said we're also releasing in this fiscal year one of the games that you would expect 2K to be working on, which I think the whole world expected that to be Borderworlds or Borderlands 3 or whatever they're calling that. But I don't know. Maybe it's BioShock. It's one of their tent poles. They've said over Strauss Zelnick has said over and over.
Strauss
has said, BioShock's going to be here for a while. But what does that even mean?
Whatever, dude.
I know.
Ken Levine, of course, not working on it anymore. He's moved on to his own studio.
Correct.
But in this TechRadar article, it says, according to a source close to the project, the team is trying to keep things small at the moment. They're trying to be really smart about figuring out what the core thing is. They're careful about not falling into the same problem every studio has, where they have too many people and nothing for them to do.
Yeah, which is what shut down Hangar 13. They just released Mafia. I can't handle that.
Yeah.
And a year later, they are gone. They couldn't land. That's an amazing article. If you haven't read the article, I highly encourage it. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But he talks a lot about, like, and the only reason this even comes up as a footnote is because how disheartened they are looking across the hall at the secret studio working on the secret BioShock game. And like, why can't we work on the BioShock game? I want to work on that. They prototyped Mafia 4. They prototyped a bunch of other things. They had, like, a spy game that went nowhere. Mm. And then, like, you know, 250 person studio for a year, it's what, $30 million just burned, and they're like, all right, well, we're not here anymore. Unbelievable. This industry is crazy. Mm. Mafia 3 sold like 9 million copies in the first like month and a half or something. This is a successful game. Backed by one of the biggest publishers in the world, 2K.
Too bad.
Adios.
It's not a sports game.
Crazy. Ugh.
2K.
It's not Rockstar.
No, and it's not Rockstar. It's sad to see Hangar 13 go, but the news coming out of that being BioShock. We've seen underwater.
Yeah.
We've seen in the air. What I mean, out of two, three games, are we going to space?
Gotta go to space.
No, that's System Shock, right? Like that is the BioShock is the spiritual successor to System Shock, which
or
is space.
Prey for that matter.
Prey, yeah. But where?
sorry. I know that there's some Looking Glass roots there, and I know you love that game. I just can't. They are different caliber games for me.
So they're trying to figure this thing out. Where does BioShock go?
Dude, I don't like. I've been thinking about that a lot since they announced it. And I don't know. Mm. I mean, they Barrel at Sea, they wrapped up that whole series so well and with such a bow. I mean, again, like, there's always a guy. There's always a lighthouse. Like, fucking what? What do you even do? Mm. I don't know. I'm not envious of that. Like, honestly, that's sort of Damocles, right? Like, how cool is it to have that project, but also, like, you are fucked if you don't deliver on that. On that IP,
but here's and the thing about that is just because there's what I would like, even though it's impossible to keep anything super top secret as we're reporting on now, if it's released as something completely different, just then it probably won't sell because people won't know that it's a BioShock game, but.
Release it as some called something else, and at the end,
yeah.
All of a sudden, you realize it's been BioShock.
Oh my
god!
Well, and you just like you get into like Act Three, and it starts, and you're like in this antique shop, and you see like this lighthouse.
Yep.
And you're like, oh shit!
Sold.
Something honestly, like that.
I wish we had games do like successors do that at some point, because that would be the coolest experience as a gamer. Like. Wandering through a game that you think is something new and then like having it tie in beautifully like that. I think that would be one of those ideal gaming. Mm-hmm.
It's just tough though, right? Because like we just talked about Hangar 13 going out of business, right? Like exactly. I genuinely mm-hmm. think that if you're not like a brand, like IP, it's tough. It's and like the will never happen. Do you guys play Spec Ops: The Line? Have we talked about this?
It's a PS3 game, but yep. Yeah, and you talk about it all the time.
All the time. It's one of the formative games.
Please
but
continue.
It just does that thing and worth playing, but it does this thing where like as you play it, it changes what it is, and it slowly, and then you look up and you go, what is going on? Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. So anyway, I highly recommend it.
Has that gotten the HD remake treatment yet?
It has not. I don't think that's one of the things. Because Spec Ops, literally they buried that in the Spec Ops. Like, they could have called this game anything. It could have been way smarter, right? Because it's ostensibly, like, Heart of Darkness, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it is in Dubai. It's Heart of Darkness in Dubai. And the river is, like, a series of buildings that you travel down. It's incredible. But it changes what it is mid-game. And because they buried it in a shitty IP, Spec Ops The Line, which is, like, the 18th Spec Ops game or some... I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
That's a shame. That would be one if they had like a Criterion collection of video games.
Cannot recommend
it. You just have to keep it on a platform so people can play it at all times.
They even had really subversive like marketing campaigns because like even when they showed it as like this brown bro shooter, right? And that's not that game like at all. But even the marketing was set up to screw with your expectations. Mm. And then nobody got far enough into the game for it to blow people's minds because nobody bought it.
Except for fans of Alice in Chains.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yes. Yes.
Well, if you want to put
it's very good. It's very good. It's very good. But like, yeah, again, like how clever is that even the marketing was a rope-a-dope, right? Like even the marketing was a misdirect. And
That's – we need something like that.
I agree.
BioShock, we talked about it earlier in reference to Far Cry 5
so
and just to
good.
Its ending.
That's
and,
such a good idea, Martin.
But you can't – like if you make it like a super long title, but like the B, the I, the O, the S, the H, the O, the C, the K are like
yeah.
a little different so that you can – it's still like, oh, it's a BioShock game. But it's not a BioShock game. But it is a BioShock game because that – I think but then also at the same time, I don't want people to go into it, you know, thinking, oh, there's going to be a twist somehow. Something's going to make this different instead of it just being an exciting way to play the game. That's where the difference between BioShock 1 and BioShock 2 happens, but then BioShock 2 had one of the best DLCs
ever.
Of DLCs.
Period.
We kind of got away from it. Stacey, what do you want to see in a BioShock game?
I don't even know.
Or what type of area, what type of time period? Because we've only seen like a couple of time periods, but where else could we go?
I don't know. I see. I mean, I always like going backwards, but I don't know if I want that for BioShock. I think they kind of nailed that with Infinite. Mm-hmm. So do we want to keep going? Like,
I want to go play Infinite again. Just thinking about that. Look, that was a game about, like, so I don't know how to answer where and when.
Yeah.
But, like, so if Infinite is about American exceptionalism, race, religion, those types of things, I'd be really interested to see a game, like, thematically around, like, economic imperialism. Like, I think I'd be really interested to see that and have it take place not in the States.
Agreed.
Right? So reflected, you know, in the Middle East somewhere, maybe.
Yeah.
And look at that effect of American imperialism on the rest of the globe. I don't know. So I can think of things that I don't know. That's an impossible task. It's crazy.
But I agree. I don't want frowning white dude protagonist. I think
Booker,
we're done with that.
We have passed that.
Yes,
point.
We have. Booker, catch. No. I'm going to hit him in the damn head. God, that's
your boy Troy Baker.
I know it's my boy Troy Baker.
I know.
Troy Baker can voice anybody.
I know.
So get him to voice somebody else.
He could play a black woman.
He could play Pagan Min.
Sure.
Oh, wait, he did that.
Yes, he
could
did.
Play the
Very
Joker.
Well.
Oh, wait, he did that.
Very well.
He can play anybody and everybody.
Correct.
This just turned into the Troy Baker show. Ladies and gentlemen, with 5 minutes left, we bring in Troy Baker.
That'd be amazing. Come on in, Troy.
Fire questions, go.
I was just in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I heard you were talking about me.
That was a good impression, too.
Yeah,
I bought it.
I do what I can.
Yeah.
After such an experience of what BioShock Infinite was, just being one of the best all-around games from a narrative, pushing stuff politically and its ideas, I loved... It always reminds me of my favorite review of the game, which is from the now retired godfather of the review, Adam Sessler.
Okay.
His review of it is what ultimately made me get the game.
What did he say?
Because at that point, I hadn't. Just his not talking anything about spoilers, but he showed a moment at the end of Act 2, beginning of Act 3, where. There's a woman singing Clearance Clearwater Revival's Fortunate Son outside of the stocks.
100%.
And just seeing that moment, first of all, it made me go,
yep.
Why is CCR how in this?
Yep.
But I thought this took place. Mm-hmm. So it got me thinking. And but then also that imagery of how far it goes, of how far it's willing to go to tell a message. And playing the first 20 minutes, 30 minutes of that game and getting to the first, like, the first choice.
Dog, you don't even pull a trigger. How subversive is that?
Yeah.
For the first 30 minutes of that game, you don't pull a trigger. You get baptized in first person. Mm-hmm. Again, in the first 30 minutes, this game was so bold.
And then here's a baseball.
Yes, I know. Yeah.
What an experience that game is. And it's one of those things where even now we're still like skirting around everything.
5 years later and it's still
you don't want to ruin that experience.
Yeah, because
it was so amazing going through it.
That game made me want to write about games. Again, it's one of those things that like restores my faith in the medium.
Yeah.
It's
available in HD. You can get it on Steam. You can get it on PS4. You can get it on Xbox One. Pick it up if you haven't. Dear God.
I'm going to go back and play
that. That was a game where the office I was working at the time was like, oh, I just beat it. Hey, has everybody beat BioShock yet? No? Okay. And then they would go outside or into another room and talk about it. Yep. And I'd be like, thank
you. As you should. It's only superseded by its DLC. Like the Burial at Sea stuff is incredible.
Well, even just the... Oh, man.
Incredible. It brings it back around to BioShock in a way that like I didn't think was fucking possible. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But even like the Skyhooks.
I know.
The Skyhooks were so fun. It was, that game was so fun. Man, now I do want to go back to play it.
Yeah,
but
me too.
We're on the God of War is coming out.
Yes, it is.
For God's sake.
Friday.
God of War is coming out Friday. Labo's coming out Friday. 420. And then South Park Fractured But Whole is also coming out, which I'm thinking of on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's coming out on the Switch. It's like, if I am going to play that game, because I liked Stick of Truth so much, I'd play that on the Switch.
I could see that.
I'd play that on the Switch. But God of War, dude, it's getting very top ratings.
I can't handle it.
And I won't play it.
I know, me too, man. I'm dying.
I won't play it real bad.
Well, like, I don't know that I've ever been so, like, jacked to play. I think it's since Last of Us that there was a game that with that critical success and then I had to, you know, Sony knows when they've got a hit when they give you a week for the embargo. They're like, oh, seriously, we know we've got a game.
Seriously.
Yep. We know we've got a game.
That's the weird thing is, as I've talked about it before with something like, not Sleeping Dogs, Watch Dogs. With Watch Dogs, they announced it and it looked great and it was cool. And it's like, cool, I want to play it right now. And then it was starting to take a little while, like, oh, I don't. And then reviews started coming up. People were like, eh. It's like, the exact opposite has happened to me with God of War, where I saw it, I was hyped, cool, Axe comes back to him, he's got a kid now, whatever.
Great.
Norse gods, sure. Cool, this is awesome. And it's been building. Like, God of War is just a release type of a game.
I'm very excited.
Where it's just, I can get all of my anger out and just go crazy, but it looks like this is going to be a little bit of a different take on it.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to see what happens to Kratos and seeing what they do to try to redeem him.
Talk about it next week.
Let's talk about it next week. But until then, this has been Inventory Full. We have been coming to you from the Popcorn Talk Network. If you're watching this on the Popcorn Talk Network, we stream on Twitch at twitch.tv/InventoryFullPT. If you're listening to this on the podcast feed, we stream at Inventory Full. On twitch.tv. So please give us a follow, give us a subscription. If you have Amazon Prime, you can subscribe to us for free. And we have more features coming out soon. Our streaming schedule is getting a little bit more busier. So please do us a favor. It helps the channel out and it will help us grow. Thank you so much to everybody. But before we go, Stacey, where can the folks find you? What are you going to be playing this week?
Gosh, guys, you can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles or on the PlayStation Network at Seriously Siri. I am probably going to be digging back into Overwatch a lot more and I'm going to try to finish Far Cry. I'm very easily distracted, though, so no promises.
Yes.
Hey, Patrick, how about you?
You find me, Peter the D's, on Twitter, Truly Slide, on your console of choice. I'm going to be playing that God of War for sure toward this weekend. And I'm actually going to clean up the rest of the side quests on Far Cry. Playing some arcade, which has been fun. So I'll be messing around with that a little bit. So hit me there.
And I am Mark Bidonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. I did just stream some WWE 2K18 on our channel, answered a whole bunch of stuff, talked about my experiences at WrestleMania. I had a lot of fun doing it, so if you are a wrestling fan or not, and you just want to hear me talk about something that I really enjoy, check me out there. I'm also, I want to get Sea of Thieves going through my Xbox, and I know a lot of other people are starting to pick it up. But if you're on Sea of Thieves, hit me up on Xbox at SoapboxMarkD, or just follow me on Twitter at MarkBidonica, because I'm doing a lot of stuff right now, and there's a lot of stuff coming up that I can't talk about, but can't wait to talk about, so join us there. Also, make sure to follow our friend Nate at DogLikeNate. Hopefully, he will be back next week. We're planning on doing a Far Cry 5 spoiler cast. Just follow any of us, and you'll be the first to find out all of that information. Thank you so much for watching this episode of Inventory Full PT. We'll see you online, just because. Yar.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.